your presence in the world about this, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's in a healing session, whether it's in a concert, whether it's in the bathroom. Lord, that we pray that your presence will go with us, that your power will touch people, and they would encounter this church for the hours of prayer and time he spends with people, just sharing your love with them. And so, Lord, we pray that you would anoint his words this morning to speak to our hearts, that he would share what is on your mind for us, what is on your heart for us, and that we would hear what you would say, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's cool. My working. Yeah, I can hear myself. You ever listen to yourself? Sometimes unusual. But, you know, I really appreciate our church, how it's being careful with the little children. And some of you know the story, but one time Nancy and I felt God was leading us somewhere. So we one Sunday we left, didn't go to Baptist church. We went to this other church we heard about. And so I had my two boys, and Nancy went into the sanctuary for the message, and I took them to Sunday school. And I sat there, and I kind of waited for a teacher to show up. And I waited, and I waited, and I waited. And I finally realized there is no teacher showing up to the Sunday school class. So I guess I'm going to be the teacher. And so I taught a Sunday school class of children in a church that I never walked in before in my life. And I mean, talk about something disorganized. But, you know, I thought myself, you know, I don't want to think too highly of myself. I thought all those kids are going to say, where's that teacher this Sunday? But and Nancy was in the sanctuary going, what has happened to Byron? What has happened to Byron? So I gave all the children back to their parents, and then I took my boys and found Nancy. Where were you? I said, Nancy, you won't believe it. We got to leave this place. I taught Sunday school. And it's really wonderful that God can be very creative in that kind of thing. And this morning, open topic is something that happened a couple weeks ago for me. I entered into a dream, and in that dream, people in this church were getting set free. And I was just going from person to person to person, and every one of them were being set free. And then Jesus was standing with me, and all he said to me was Matthew chapter 12. And the dream ended. So I started looking over and over and over again in Matthew chapter 12. And I was saying, what in the world is in here? You know, there's a lot of stuff in chapter 12. What is in here that will set people free? And I had to really press into that. And I said, Holy Spirit, you gave me this dream. What is here? Show me what's here that will set people free, like I saw in the dream. And it was about a week into it when God just opened my eyes to what was in chapter 12 to set people free. And that's what we're going to share this morning. And it's amazing, because even last night, I gave a 2 or 3 or 4 minute version of that to the nurse that was attending to my mother-in-law. And she looked at me and she said, that is amazing. I don't get to go to church because I have to work, but I want to let you know that is so freeing. Thank you for sharing that with me. And she got very enthusiastic about it. That was Abby. And we're getting to know all these nurses. Me and my sister-in-law were in a room together, just the two of us with Mom. And I said, you ever hear that new song by Lauren Daigle, Say Yes? She said, I never, because she's not into current Christian music, and she's probably the old Rugged Cross and all that kind of thing. So I found Lauren Daigle, and we were playing it just when the nurse walked in. So the nurse is attending my mother-in-law, and she's singing the song with Lauren Daigle. And then after I got finished, she says, Man, thank you so much, man. I this is so amazing. I know that song. I listen to Moody Bible Institute all the time on the radio, and my husband and I are active in the children's ministry at our church. And I told her, I said, you know, ma'am, you are free to pray and share Jesus with my mother-in-law. And she said, that's so awesome, because some hospitals can restrict that. So she has a freedom. We're just sending freedom to these nurses and people on the floor to minister to my mother-in-law. Now, an update with her. Last night, we got some news that not was really good. They took an x-ray because they were supposed to release her today to go to rehab. And I just don't know what's happening, but the x-ray showed her lungs being filled with fluids. Nancy's attending to that, and I'm here, and we're here to glorify Jesus and thank him for all things, everything in our life. Send up a thank you in Jesus' name. One more thing. She has been saying some really bad things, and Holy Spirit, one couple of nights ago, well, in a dream again, said, tell your mother-in-law to bless her children. And because it's been everything opposite of that. And I felt it was like Jacob blessing his children. He laid down, folded his arms, and went into the kingdom. And I felt like there might be some connection between her blessing her children and entering into the kingdom. Well, just this weekend, and she's been very unkind to Nancy, and she's been really struggling with this, and she called Nancy to the bedside, and she said, Nancy, I just want to let you know I love you. So I feel that she's blessing her children. When that happens, God will receive her into his kingdom, right? So, now, the message. It's a wonderful message. I want to open up with a scripture that is I quote fairly frequently, and it's an amazing scripture and something to open up to what God opened up to me in Matthew chapter 7. Because even this week, he said to me, Byron, look at specifically verse 12. And you're gonna see this as we unfold it. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, therefore, since we have a great high priest who ascends into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in every time of need. That the writer of Hebrews connected with something really. When we read this, I'm sure everyone in this room this morning, when he said that Jesus was tempted in every area for you and I, that might bring up a sign to say, yeah, that's me. I know this, I know this, and I know this, and I know where I have this temptation. I know where I'm weak in here, and I know for everyone this might be a little different. But Jesus faced every one of those and it was victorious. Now, what about chapter 12? What about chapter 12 in book of Matthew? I had to really press in to ask the Holy Spirit. By the way, somebody challenged me this last week about, they said, Byron, have you ever said, I love you, Holy Spirit? I had to say, man, I said, I love you, Father. I love you, Jesus. You know what? Honestly, I don't think I ever said, I love you, Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's real. And I think it's a good thing not only to say, I love you, Father, I love you, Jesus, but also spend some time and say, I love you, Holy Spirit. Because in pressing into the Holy Spirit is where he unlocked chapter 12 of Matthew to me. And I love him for it. He wants to set people free. He really wants the believers for the chains to be completely broken off. So, what I saw as I went over and over, and I asked the Holy Spirit, come on, you told me in the dream chapter 12, and I saw people set free. What in the world are you talking about in this chapter? Because the chapter deals with healing, with deliverance, and all kinds of helps, and Jesus really encountering different people. And we're going to look at what some of the people said to Jesus and his disciples in chapter 12. What did they say? They said, verse 2, when the Pharisees saw this, saw Jesus do a mighty thing, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath. The Pharisees were holding up law before Jesus and saying his disciples weren't attending to the law. What say you? You know, he was in this place. That's in this place where they were asking here, and we can kind of take that in the modern world and say, you know, look at you, follower of Jesus. You have tattoos. How can you be a Christian and have tattoos? Don't you know back here in law says don't mark your body? They come from TGP, but you know what? They have wine with their meal, and some people can cast judgment on that. But you know what? In all these things, we can go to a lot of different things there. But you know what? What Jesus, when he was encountering the disciples doing what they're eating and eating there, and they said it was unlawful, he went right to the heart of his followers, not in what they were doing. He went right to the heart of his followers, not what they were doing. He saw their heart. He saw their heart, and he defended them. He defended their actions. And then in verse 10, and a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus. They said to him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? You know, it was accusations and judgments upon our Savior Jesus. And saying to them, now, wait a minute. You know, it's the Sabbath. It's the day. Is it lawful? Is it really lawful for you to heal that man? And again, Jesus always looks at the heart of things, not what's really happening. And in fact, he healed that man on the Sabbath. And that brought another response from those that would hurl accusations and judgments on Jesus. And the response was, and the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. No, you and I, in our workplace, where we are, and in wherever we go in life, you know what? The truth of the matter is, there are people that don't like you. There are people, and maybe you don't know who they are all the time, but there are people that don't like you and will cast judgments on you. And they, after Jesus was in there, and we're working through chapter 12, and Jesus is defending his disciples and defending his actions. And we're going to get into a greater depth of what I'm just saying now. And they didn't like it. They didn't like it. They didn't like what they perceived as unrighteous, and Jesus was saying it was okay. They didn't like it. They didn't like it. Unlocking chapter 12. I'm glad Nancy. She puts numbers here. Once, maybe some of you never know this, but one Sunday I skipped a page, and I knew I was all whacked out, but I kept going. I said, well, just forget that. And I said, Nancy, you got to put the numbers here. Because we want everybody to have the fullness of what God has for them. We don't want to miss a thing, do we? Do we? So, all right. And then they brought, all in the same chapter, and then they brought to him a demon-possessed, blind and mute. Man, that guy was full of dysfunction. Imagine having a physical issue and a spiritual issue. He had them both, demon-possessed, blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that he could talk and see. He did this act of responding to need. In verse 24, and when the Pharisees heard this, and what they were hearing was the people were saying, wow, who is amongst us now? Who is it? This must be a great prophet. This must be somebody. Who is this? And they heard all this information, and being that they did not like Jesus, they said, and when the Pharisee heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. They hurled an accusation towards Jesus that was totally false at a very high degree. Here's a son of God doing a releasing somebody from demons, blindness, and muteness, and they're saying that man there is doing it empowered by the demons themselves, and they hurled that to him, and they hurled that abuse to him. And then in chapter 38, verse 38, and some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Very interesting. Now after all this abuse and abusive language and abusive judgments on him, they're saying, you know what, we'll believe if you will do something amazing. And he did not. He called them out and said, You're a perverse generation, and you're looking for a sign to believe. And you're looking at the person himself, and you just called him a demon. But you're looking at your hope in your redemption. You're looking at your hope in redemption. All that to say this. All that to say this. What is the secret nugget that comes out of chapter 12? What was the Holy Spirit showing me that it took reading over and over and over again to see? Why was I seeing people set free, chains broken? Why was I seeing this? And why did Jesus lead me to study and meditate on chapter 12? What was it? Well, what it was is what I just declared. What it was, back in Hebrews, he said he was tempted in every way. but yet did not succumb to the temptation. In this room, this morning, there have been words spoken over you. There has been untruth spoken over you. It's compassionate. This compassionate Jesus is saying, it doesn't define you.
Amen.
Those words do not define you. Jesus, in chapter 12, demonstrated, like it says in Hebrews, he was tempted in every way, but that did not define him, and words don't define you, because you belong to him. You have that connection with him. And I when I saw that, I said, you know, in Hebrews, I never went to words of accusation when I read that thing, he was tempted in every way. I went other places, but I never went there until I focused on chapter 12 of Jesus, when he was hurled abusive words towards him, and he won the victory. He won the victory. You know what? And I'm saying that could be abusive words, and it also can be positive words. You know, Jesus doesn't want to overwhelm anybody in this room. And sometimes we'll hear a word and we'll say, you know, I just can't do it. I just can't do it. But you know, submit to the wonderful, loving Jesus and take to heart what you're hearing. And because he's saying to us and to me, you can do all things through himself who strengthens you. You know, he's an amazing God. He's an amazing God. And you know what? He won that victory for everyone in this room. For, you know what? It wasn't how you were raised up that defines you. It's not who your parents were that defines you. It's not who that friend that might have said something that defines you. It's Jesus that defines you. And he, in chapter 12, met that head on and said, even to the point that, imagine, Jesus himself being called the head of demons, Beelzebub. And that did not define him. And any word spoken over any of us in this room does not define you. The word of God defines you. The promises of God define you. That's who you are. It's not what you do, it's who you are. And even when the disciples were doing things, they said, oh, look at they're sinning. They're doing this. Look at that. He was looking at his disciples' heart, not in the actions they were doing. God is the one working a beautiful work in everyone in this room. And you can do it. He wants to take you places beyond what you can ever imagine, because he wants to demolish words spoken over you that have crippled you, and he wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. He's the one. He's the one that won the victory over careless accusations that might have been hurled at you and me. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Now, what about putting on the icing on the cake, after defining that, what's also in chapter 12? What's also there that defines who we are is very obvious. Right here in verse 7, if you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocents. And you know what? And that's right back in that Hebrews verse, right? The Hebrews verse says, so that you might receive what? Mercy. And that the grace to help us in our time of need. I want to let you know, Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is spot on when you need him. He never misses an opportunity to be for you and I, and it's by his mercy. Because he's not, you know, earlier on, I think Pat had that word, sometimes we don't feel worthy to receive something from God. I want you to know, he made you worthy. It's not by what you're doing makes you worthy. He made you worthy. What you're doing is what you're doing. What you are by faith in Jesus Christ is who you really are. That's who you really are. So, and then verse 30, for who does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother, sister, and mother. You know, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. These three categories, brother, sister, and mother, define a very intimate relationship. I mean, just we're just painstaking taking care of my mother-in-law, and somebody's there. Even my brother-in-law has been sleeping at the hospital. We're there because that's a intimate relationship. That's a very connected relationship. Even if it's suffered some damage, it's still intimate. It's still your mother. It's still your brother. It's still your sister. It's connection, right? It's connection. And Jesus is saying here, in that I think, hey, you know, I've won all the victory for you. I've won it. It's already been done. And he says, now, if you have become that most intimate, you have become my brother. You have become my sister. You have become my mother. He's declaring to us that he, when he did that work on the cross and forgave us and had us come in connection and intimate relationship with him, he's not going to break it. He's never going to break it. In fact, he defined people of faith who are living for Jesus Christ, he defines them as my brother, my sister, my mother, a very intimate connection. That's who you are. That's who you are. You are his sister. You are his brother. You are his mother, the most intimate of all. And then in verse 12, remember, last week, all of a sudden, I'm driving to work, and whatever it was, either a dream or driving to work, and I said, no, 12:12. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12 and share it with my people. And it says, how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. You know, I love this church. I love this body. I'll occasionally get calls from people, and they'll say, I can't, you know, this is the first church I've ever been in where I haven't been a pastor for that long, but that people actually text me and tell me why they're not in church. And because I'm actually doing this, and a lot of times I'll text back and I'll say, you're doing the will of the Father. Because you're taking this day to help somebody else. And God bless you, praying for you, go for it. Go for it. We even have I named that room that crossed the wall, non-condemnation. You know, because some of us have to go over there and sit over there, and we got the thing going on over there. And you know what? It's not so big important thing that you're in this room, but that you're here and you're hearing. Here and you're hearing. So it's saying, how much more valuable? That's a key point. That's a key point. Is if we're gonna allow people's words to trip us up, then we didn't understand fully how valuable we are to our Father. I'm going to say it again. If we're going to let words that people speak over us to affect us and trip us up, then we haven't fully connected with how valuable we are to the kingdom and who Jesus is and that he won the victory. Some people say, amen? Now, I challenge you. In the dream, back to the dream, I saw people getting free. I can't do this for you, but you can cancel words spoken over you that have been causing you difficulty. You can speak and rid yourself of circumstances in your life growing up that have maybe tripped you up to this day, and that assignment can be canceled. You can leave here more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. You can become way more than a victim. You can leave here victorious. Because in chapter 12, Jesus demonstrated to you and I, words spoken over you have no value. What he says does. Because you and I are extremely valuable to him. Worship leaders. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for who you are. Father God, I thank you for dreams. Father God, I thank you for dreams that you have put me in that place where I could see people being set free. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you're the one, your Holy Spirit is the one that can open up the beautiful truth that comes out of Scripture. Father, I thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ won the victory over every word that's been ever spoken over us that trips us up. Father God, I thank you, Lord, the victory has been won. The blood of Jesus has canceled those words. Have canceled those words. And Father God, that we can leave this place free because it's him who sets us free. We don't set ourselves free. Whom the Lord sets free. I love it because it's free indeed, completely. Father God, we can live victorious. We can live victorious. We can live free from our past and walk in the future with the God that calls us valuable. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the hope of our salvation. And we love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. And we love you, Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.